Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. We are looking live from Dale Diamond. It's a beautiful thing because tonight he got Thirsty Thursdays, and I'm a big fan of Thirsty Thursdays. $5, 24 ounce Bud Lights. If that's not enough of an incentive for you to get on out here to Dale Diamond tonight for some baseball action, pints and pups, or pups and pints, whichever you prioritize.
I think I will alphabetically, pints and puffs, but whatever I think we all think about it, puffs and pints.
We got one of the folks who's responsible for all of the great activities out here at the Dale Diamond. You can come out here and enjoy tonight. The president of the Round Rock Express, Chris Almendarez, joining us right now. What's going on, brother?
What's up, guys? Man, thanks for having me. It's great to see you guys out here. Like the band's back together.
We're back together. It's good to be out here.
Why aren't you sweating? Because I'm sweating.
I was up in my office.
Okay, I'm about to say.
BK just shot me a text that my time's up. I'm smart. Old veteran me, if I walk through the suite level, then come down the stairs.
Really smart.
That's that VIP status. Yes, sir. You deserve it. No doubt about it. All right. Well, tell us how things are going.
It's good, man. We had UIL last week, which was crazy. Yep. You know, we're in the middle of it's like 30 games in 20 days when you do the high school and you do the we started off with the 6-game homestand with the Express. They left. We did 4 games last Wednesday for UIL, 4 games Thursday, 4 games Friday, and 3 the championship Saturday, and then the All-Star Game, Austin Area Coaches Association All-Star Game on Sunday. We start our homestand tonight, and then we go through Tuesday. And then we have the Texas High School All-Star Games, the lower class Saturday morning, and then the upper class 5A and 6A on Sunday morning. So it's taking
no
its
rest
toll.
For the weary.
Yeah.
No, but that's how we roll. Look, that's what we're about. And, look, I keep telling my staff, you know, we're in a way better position than we were last year, of course. Yeah. But, it's great. We got a memo from Major League Baseball today. Some of the restrictions and the protocols, the COVID protocols that they've done, they've actually opened a lot up. Today was a big day for us. I'm a Tier 2, so the players are Tier 1. They get tested every 2 days. Tier 2, we get tested every 4 days. There's about 5 of my staff that are Tier 2. But it's a hassle. You're coming in every 4 days to do a COVID test. I've had COVID. I'm fully vaccinated. But, look, Major League Baseball, it's their rules. But today to open that up just kind of gets things back to normal for us.
Well, Chris, we saw it the first time we came out. It was so great for us. You saw the smiles on our face. Just to be out, you know, back at the ballpark and just to be out around people again. What have y'all seen? I mean, you've got these 30 games in 20 days. Just societally, I'm kind of curious. These people coming back, how excited have you seen them?
I think that's the biggest thing. I think, you know, when you talk about, you know, COVID and the isolation and people being by themselves, look, we're a society of relationships. And, you know, Reed used to say this, we're in the people business. And so we want to make sure we connect with people. And, look, baseball is a social sport. And so to come out here to grab a cold Bud Light, to watch the game, watch your favorite players, watch the future Rangers or the Dodgers as tonight who we're playing, you know, to be able to do that. But, look, to see people come in and you know, want to give me a hug and say, hey, great, thanks for opening up, thanks for doing this. You know, we did 40-plus events during the pandemic, and then, of course, when baseball season opened up, we were able to open up to almost full capacity. We still have some areas that are socially distanced, and we'll continue to have that throughout the season. But, you know, we want to do the best we can to get this thing moving forward. And, you know, I was talking to BK earlier. One of the big things, I think probably the biggest thing in my history of being the Round Rock Express team president is – we were able to do vaccinations here in our parking lot. We're a max vaccination site. It might be the biggest thing I touch in my career, but we did almost 80,000 vaccinations in our parking lot.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how did y'all put that all together? Because this facility, such an amazing facility, but you guys have used this for so many different things over the years. There's been monster trucks here. There's been concerts here. And then you guys were able to help out the community in a huge way. What was that process like, putting that together and turning this place into one of the biggest COVID vaccination places in all of Central Texas?
I'll be honest with you. I got COVID. I tested positive November 20th, and, you know, it was tough. I had a tough go with it for about 2 weeks, but right after I got out of it and had saw my doctor this morning, everything was good. But one of the things, County Judge Gravel reached out to me and said, hey, listen, we're looking for a spot on the west side of
– Sorry.
He's been waiting for this.
Sorry about that, Chris.
No, you're fine. I got my back to this. You better protect me. See your skills. Yeah. But we talked to Judge Gravel, and he said, hey, look, we're looking for a spot on the west side. What would you think? And I said, absolutely. And, you know, having it and knowing – you know, I said, I don't want anybody to ever go through what I went through, and if we can help some people out. And they jumped on board, the county Curative, they connected us with Curative, and they did a phenomenal job. I mean, it was a drive-through setup. They would check in on the west side and then get the injections on the east side of the parking lot. And it was one of the neatest things I think we've done, and to be a part of it. And that's why we felt comfortable opening up the stadium and getting folks out here. And, man, you know, that opening day to see you guys out here and – It's just great. You get to see a lot of people that we haven't seen, and it was like 14 months since we have, you know, since we shut down, but almost 600 days since we played baseball. So good to have folks out.
It's fun to – go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I got a random question, though. You talked about – and BK brought up all the different, you know, things that this is a venue for, that the Dell Diamond can be a venue for. You've been here a long time. What is the strangest, most random thing that you can remember – Dell Diamond being a venue for?
This is my 12th season, and honestly, I think the year that AMC came in and we did Fear the Walking Dead.
I remember
Tim Jackson, my GM, came to me. He's like, I got to talk to you. He's like, we just had this group come in. They came in with the governor's office and said, I'm like, they want to do what? And they want to pay us what? I actually shot traded text with Jenna Elfman today. Jenna was on that series, season 4, and
wow. She's
still on the series. So she's a big Dodger fan, so we're kind of going back and forth. I was like, hey, nice. They're here for the next 6 days. Do you want to come out? But that, to me, because when you look at it, I'll have to show you guys some videos and some pictures, but they blew up our dugout. They made a faux dugout, and you're just going, man, our stadium's never going to be the same. They covered up every sign, but that was probably the weirdest thing. Huh. But, look, we've got the unbelievable grounds crew, our RS3 turf service business, the things that we're doing around the state and around the country with building fields. We're comfortable and confident that we can get a field and turn it back over. Okay. We need about a month, but we're going to do it.
So I've also been – I love Dish Falk Field, but I've been trying to – encourage them to go to grass, because when I'm out here and I'm looking at it, it's incredible. I know you guys are at the top of the line and really in front of people in terms of how you do turn it over. How does this thing look so good with 30 games in 20 days? I mean, what is the science behind that?
Look, Nick Rozdilski is somewhere over there. He's our head groundskeeper, and Nick's the man. I mean, we put a lot of things. I think, you know, we probably lead the league, all of minor league baseball, on the you know, different events that we put on. They're really good at what they do, but the biggest thing is, you know, the other thing I didn't mention in that, you know, that 30 games in 20 days is we've also, that first week of the Round Rock Express games, that first homestand, we pulled tarp 12 times. That's wow. That's late at night putting it on and then coming back 8 in the morning and pulling it off. And so that's a credit to our staff. I mean, look, we're shorthanded with the staff cuts we made during COVID, and, you know, everybody, all hands on deck to come out there and do that and protect the field. But that's one of the things that we do. And, you know, when you go through UIL, there's procedures, and, you know, we block off where kids can warm up. And, you know, we take it, you know, we take pride in what we do, and those guys work hard. We're proud of them.
It looks great.
Absolutely. Chris Almendares, president of the Round Rock Express, sitting in with us here on the Triple Option with RBKD. Chris, to me, this place is always an easy sell, right? Come to the ballpark, bring your family. Tonight you can bring your dogs, too. But it really helps when you've got a first-place team. Your thoughts on the team itself and the start to the year that they've had?
It's been fun. Kenny Holmberg, our manager, I think it all starts with him. The culture he's built. You know, it was funny. When he first came out, he said, look, we're going to play small ball. We're going to get, you know, we got a lot of guys that are kind of some no-names. As we're looking, I see Delino DeShields right there in front of me. But these guys just show up every day and they play baseball, and they do it the right way. The way that they respect the game and the attitude that they show up and effort they give. I'm looking forward, BK, we talked earlier about, you know, not having access to the clubhouse and kind of limited things. Now that that's all done, we're going to be in there and, you know, we celebrate the wins when those guys do it, and we check in the next day to make sure that everything's going good for them. But, look, our thing that we always say is we're the baby Rangers. We're development. We're trying to get those guys ready for the next level. A lot of the guys that have played here that are on that, you know, that six-year free agent market, and they come back to Round Rock. If they're going to be in AAA, they want to play in Round Rock. And that's one of the things that we pride ourselves on, to make it the best experience. And we tell them, look, we know your ultimate goal is to be in the major leagues and to be in Arlington. And we're going to do everything we can while you're here to give you the best experience. Our buddies across the street with Kalahari, that new resort, the world's largest indoor water park, they've been great. Two of the guys on the other team are asking, hey, can we get passes for that deal? We try to do everything we can to help everybody out and give them a good time.
Do any of your players, any of the Express players live there? Is that possible?
You know what?
There?
It's funny.
Cabanas.
You know, Wade LeBlanc, we signed for a two-week contract the last couple weeks. He just got released or took his out, but he actually stayed there for his time.
How about
did
that?
He really?
He did.
Did he bring his kids down?
He did.
That's
kids,
awesome.
Sure
that's
did.
Great.
Yeah. So that's minor league baseball, and you do it. And look, that's a guy that's played major league, you know, been in the show for a couple of years and has made some money, and he decided that's what he was going to do. And, you know, that's the thing, working in this industry, the time away from your family. So you've got to really pick and choose and make sure you're there with your family. I was fortunate that both of my boys were, you know, into baseball, and a lot of times – My younger son Luke would be out here, you know, shagging BP right now during BP, and so it's fun. But we try to encourage. Look, we're a family owned business, and our culture is really big. But making sure that, you know, tonight a lot of my staff, their significant others, are going to have their dogs out here. It's pints and pups, and let's get out here and do it. So.
Has that been the toughest part for you? I mean, you're such a personable guy, and it's funny. Every time I come out here, you're nice enough to talk to me for a few minutes, but you've got a million other people trying to talk to you as well. Like, has the toughest part for you over the last year just the lack of relationships you've been able to build with players, with your staffers, with just friends, faces that you're used to seeing around here? Has that been the most challenging thing for you guys?
Yeah, BK, and I appreciate you saying that. I'm an high energy guy. I like you know, I feed off of people's energy, and it's funny, even at night, I've got to kind of take it down a little bit to fall asleep, but one of the things that we missed was just the interaction with folks and seeing people come in Del Diamond. Everybody that walks in Del Diamond, either it's first time or they're coming back for another time, it's something special about that night. And look, we're really thankful that they're coming back out and supporting us. And, you know, when you take it away from us, I think people gain perspective of what it really means. And I think people walk into Del Diamond this year after COVID, they really know what it means. And so seeing a lot of those fans, I mean, look, some of them are baseball family. You guys know my story a couple years back with Jana and the brain tumor and the support we got. And, you know, it's neat to see those folks. And a lot of those folks, you know, I tell them it triggered some things. And kind of when you're living in uncertainty and anxiety during COVID, that's what I dealt with, you know, 5 years ago. And so, you know, to get back in here and watch baseball and visit with those folks is one of the best things of my job.
You know, COVID was a challenge for a lot of folks in all facets of business. And I found that some of my friends who are actually in the business world, that some of the innovation, some of the creativity that they had to utilize during COVID just to survive, they're going to keep it now.
Yeah.
They're going to continue to do some of those things. Not everything, but some of the things they're going to keep. Have you found there are some things that you guys had to do specifically to COVID just to make sure you overcame the obstacles, but then now you decide, you know what, that may be the most efficient way to go about doing that now?
You know, we pivoted a lot when COVID first happened. Mm-hmm. I want to say we're one of the first groups to kind of get out. And look, we've got an 11-acre, you know, campus at Del Diamond. But, you know, we did that 4th of July concert last year with Granger Smith. And, you know, we put the pods on the field, and we got, you know, national recognition from CMT and how you do concerts. And then we did the Round Rock Harriman and some of those events. So a lot of things that we kind of just threw out there and said, look, we were doing Blue Skies events and going, how do we stay open and keep the folks that we have on board to keep paying them? And our revenue is, you know, we get it from April to September. And so when you don't have a season, then when 95% of your revenue comes in that time, you got to figure out ways to do things. And our biggest thing was, let's get to opening day. Let's get to opening day of 2021. Unfortunately, Major League Baseball backed it up a month.
Yep.
We put our hands up when the Major League Baseball said, hey, you guys are back with the Rangers. You know, I called John Daniels and said, hey, we want to be the Texas Rangers alternative training site. Try to kick off the dust of not being open for 600 days and kind of figure some things out. But, you know, that's the biggest thing. With the limited staff, we're trying to be as efficient as we can. So there's a lot of things that we came up with to say, okay, this is how we're doing things. And, you know, there's some silver linings, I think, when you look at what we've all been through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing that I think I'll never lose sight of is one, the, you know, behind the scenes with the contraction of Major League Baseball going from 160 teams to 120 teams, there's 40 markets out there that don't have baseball going on. And, look, we're a market that was going to be strong and people would want to come here. And, you know, the Rangers said, hey, we want to go back. If Major League Baseball's moving the Astros franchise to Sugar Land, we want to be back in Round Rock. And,
look,
it's a 10-year partnership deal. And before it was 2 to 4 years. And so 10 years, we're going to be the best partners we can with the Texas Rangers and with Major League Baseball. And it's a new set of rules, and we're kind of learning them on the fly. But at the end of the day, it's our fans and our staff that makes this the Round Rock Express.
You kind of alluded to it right there, but you guys have had so much thrown at you, and the Rangers were really smart to jump on that. I mean, there's no better place in the minor leagues than right here in Round Rock. But the elimination of some leagues and teams in minor league baseball, a 5-round draft last year, a 20-round draft this year. How has that affected everyone?
I think it's affected all the way down to high school baseball. I mean, when you look at, you know, we had the UIL out here last week, and, you know, some of those kids missed out on their junior years, and then the kids that are playing. I mean, we had great crowds for the schools that were here. Local school, Rouse was in it, and you know, those schools come out and you see those kids. You know, when you take the next step for those kids who want to play college ball or get drafted, there's limited spaces.
Yeah.
And, you know, my younger son, Luke's he's a COVID sophomore now at University of Houston, but, you know, he was dealing
you
with.
You won't say it, but he's pretty damn good. It's been impressive to follow
him. Well, he's grown up out of it. I appreciate you saying that. But Luke had some injuries this year, but it was an expanded roster, and coaches are having to figure out, hey, how do I play this kid and play that kid? We were trading texts yesterday. Kirk Sarluis played for us for Round Rock Express. He's the new head coach for TCU.
Right.
You know, David Pierce and I are good friends. He's a former Houston Cougar, so I wished him luck. But I think it's affected all rounds of baseball. And I think, you know, that backup of last year only having five rounds is, I mean, there's some kids that were at U of H that would have been drafted last year that were still there. And so, you know, the other thing I think with college baseball going to this open transfer, I think it hurts the sport because it's kind of this select baseball mentality where, yep. Well, I don't like where I play here. I'm going to go try to play there. But sometimes, as we know, the grass isn't always greener. So yeah. One of the things we're saying is, look, stay in there, figure it out. You know, Luke had an up-and-down season. He got hurt the very first game, was out for 10 games, came back on, had some great games at Oklahoma. I almost saw him hit for the cycle against UTA. And then in New Orleans, he hurt his wrist, and he actually had surgery last week and a little tendon, but he'll be fine. We're going to shut him down. He's supposed to go up to the Northwood League, Wood Bat League this summer. But we're going to shut him down. And we had baseball camp out this week. We had 84 kids. My older son, Chase, is the director of all the baseball camps. And so seeing him out, it was funny, pretty neat. I was up on the balcony watching those guys today. But that's where kids grow this, you know, that's where the love of this game grows. And that was our connection. It was, you start here, you got Old Settlers Park, you go to a local high school, you go to college, and then you get a chance to play professional baseball. Yep.
I was going to ask about Chase because last year you guys hosted the Round Rock Harriman, and he was the coach of that team. And you guys were doing really well. Unfortunately, COVID shut down the season before y'all wanted it to. But is coaching what he wants to do? I mean, one of these days, is he going to be in that dugout coaching the E-Train?
You know, I think he has a passion for it. This, when we hosted the alt training site, Kenny Holmberg, our manager, said, you know, because there were so many of our staff that were limited to go into in the clubhouse, he's like, hey, we need somebody in the front office that can help out. And Chase is one of those dual kids that can help us in the front office, and he does all the team travel but also knows baseball. And he got a chance to be in the dugout for those games. He actually coached first base at Globe Life during those games. So it was pretty cool to see your son. And, you know, like, I want Chase to be involved. I think those kids love baseball and anything to be involved with it, to get on the field. I know he loves the mentoring and teaching kids. And, you know, that was one of the great things of having him with the younger brother that's playing, because he flew out to Clearwater and talked to Luke about just – baseball, and let's look at your wrist and you know, long term, don't look so short-sighted. Mm-hmm. So it's fun, we'll see.
Last thing, Chris, before we let you go, tomorrow night is Comic-Con night. Are you dressing up?
Oh, come on, Chris.
You know,
come on.
Sometimes I surprise the staff, so we will see. There was a couple years back I dressed as Boba Fett, and they had no idea.
Nice.
I went down to Lucy in Disguise and got this costume and walked through the back, and they had no idea for about half the game. But we'll see if we come up with something. We like to have fun out here. That's the great thing about Del Diamond and some of the promotions led by our marketing team and the things they do is, look, we want the baseball fans, but we also want people. Look, people have been locked up for a number of months. And, you know, with the rain we've had this last month, it's like, hey, the weather's great. I'd rather be hot right now and be outside visiting with you guys without masks than being in my house with the mask on.
Amen, brother.
Quickly, who are a couple guys that we're going to see tonight that stand out that you think have a chance to be in Arlington?
The little shortstop, Yanni, is a kid to watch. Okay. He might be my favorite player. He just makes things happen. You know, Leody Tavares is a kid that's just – he's a five-tool player. And if you never know what a five-tool player is, come out and watch him. And you watch him throw. You watch him run. He had a slow start, but he's kind of picking up. And – you know, that's the neat thing. The catcher Pozo that we've had, he's hit walk off home runs. I mean, they're exciting, man. They play hard, and that's the thing that I love about the game of baseball is you know, there's not a lot of one big name. You know, a couple of years ago we had Joey Gallo and all these, you know, Nomar Mazzara, you know, these big names, and these guys are playing together. When we're in first place, I mean, they put a beat down on the Sugar Land team this last week, and so it's been there's a little bit of a rivalry just because a lot of those guys were with us 2 years ago, and now they're there, and we get to know them. So it's fun, man. I'm just glad we're playing baseball and glad to see you guys out here.
Well, good to be out here.
Thanks,
Chris. We appreciate the time. We appreciate you having us out here. And, man, best of luck the rest of the way. We'll continue to get people to come out here tonight, but also all season long, man.
Are y'all staying around for the game tonight?
Yeah,
we'll be here.
We are.
So we'll have some cold drinks later, okay?
Thirsty Thursday.
Y'all are VIP.
All right,
guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
There he goes. Chris Almendares, the president of the Round Rock Express. A busy man, nice enough to give us a few minutes of his time. Tickets available online, roundrockexpress.com. KD, you got a foul ball?
Yeah, I caught it while we were doing the interview.
No, I would have noticed that.
That's how locked in you were.
No, I was pretty
locked
in. Put
the left hand out and saved Rod's beautiful face.
Yeah, I'd appreciate if you did do that.
Yeah.
That's not the way it happened, though.
Nah, it trickled up here. Derek, where was it?
Derek got it for you.
Well, that would mean that I didn't move quick enough if it was coming this way.
Right down there.
Yeah, I'd have been freaking out if I saw it.
20 feet from us?
That's why I was watching. I felt bad because Chris will talk sometimes. Like, I got to watch this BP going on over here, man, because that ball – because one dude – he was rocking them.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was. And then there was one guy who was a lefty who was – what he's working on is because BP fastball is not going to get him. He was letting stuff travel and trying to let it travel as deep as it can in the zone. Hmm. So that's not sexual. And then really seeing what he can do, spraying it down the left field line, and he sprayed one a little too left. And that was the one that they yelled at.
Nice.
How would that be sexual? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, there's a couple ways.
I would love to hear them.
Yeah.
In the zone.
Well, let's get to one and done.
Ah.
It's going to be sex ed for BK. I think I'm old enough
now. The birds and the bees.
We'll get to the little birds and bees coming up next. Now, we're going to continue the baseball conversation because I guess they're doing the right thing in the major leagues, but we're hearing a lot of pushback from pitchers. And just how fair is it to actually do that midseason? We'll get into the conversation up next in one and done.
Like that five-star recruit in Kentucky, he's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Let's go one and done, and we're out here at Dell Diamond, and probably the biggest baseball story right now. What are you laughing at?
Did your voice crack there?
I don't know. Did it?
I think it did.
Yours does five times a show. We never pointed out.
I think it did.
You pointed out, though. I'll give you credit on that.
I point out everyone's voice cracks, even my own.
Yeah, no, if it did, good. I mean, it just continues to show how young I am.
And there you go.
I'm still hitting puberty.
Well done.
I'm waiting for mine.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know about all that.
That'd be weird if you hit puberty in your mid-40s. I'm sure somebody has, right?
That would be horrible.
Like Benjamin
Button. The 40-year-old version?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, but he had already hit puberty. He was just a loser, right?
That guy had the hairiest chest I've ever seen. Remember that? They waxed his chest in that movie.
Yes. Oh, is that man. Worth seeing?
It's funny.
You haven't seen 40-year-old Virgin? What the hell,
no,
man?
No, I was too old for that by then.
It's
too lame.
No, it's worth it.
All
Everybody
right.
agrees. It's still test of time. It's still pretty damn
Trevor,
funny.
You?
Yeah, see, Derek's like giving you the heads up. Yeah.
Okay.
See? Everybody said.
Sorry, I just completely sidetracked you. One and done here.
No, you didn't.
Ahead.
You didn't. We're all good.
But talk I want 40-year-old virgins.
40-year-old, yeah. Let's talk about some 40-year-old virgins. That's why they're in the minor leagues. But
nah!
I just want to be quiet about it. No. These guys are a lot younger. They're actually. Were they really mocking us as we're throwing during the break?
No, I was messing with you.
Oh, you're just messing with us?
Yeah,
sure
there's
they
some
were.
Dodgers back there. If the Express want to do that. But Derek and I are spinning some curveballs with that baseball we got.
Sure.
You getting mocked? Yeah, well.
Yeah, no, it would be understandable. Trust me.
If I was
at
these
this
guys.
League, I would have been doing the same
they'd
thing.
They'd mock me, too.
But it actually kind of relates to these guys. So the biggest story in baseball is spider tack and these pitch grips and really pitchers refuting it. Really, the bigger story of that is baseball. And one of the things I love about the sport is it does police itself, and you will get these gray areas. The problem is these gray areas can get really dark gray, where they tell you, is that black? Is that like a lighter black or a darker white? And they go, no, it's gray.
It's Steph
like,
Curry shade.
Yeah. Well done, sir. Glad you said it. To where you go, no, I mean, that's not as in-between as you want it to be. And, look, you gave the quote the other day from the former big leaguer, you give an inch, you're going to take a mile. And they're going to do that in a lot of sports. But baseball policing itself, it can really get out of control a little bit too quickly. And also, it'd be one thing if you let them police themselves, but then still have someone in charge who's got the balls to drop a hammer if he has to, and drop it at the right time. And that's where I kind of want to start the discussion here, because saw Garrett Cole. It wasn't good enough audio to send, so it was actually Garrett Cole just being the old nerdy accountant Garrett Cole.
He was actually able to speak.
He was actually able to speak.
Okay.
And I thought it was going to be good audio to use, but then he pulled back right before and he said, you know, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to be too inflammatory. I just want to. But essentially what he said was that this is really hard for us to adjust right now. And for you to do this mid-season, and I've heard this from a lot of other players, that it's okay. Look, I mean, we're kind of policing ourselves, but if you tell us we can't do this, we'll do that, and we're not going to have the union completely lose it. But to do it mid-season, that's pretty tough. Tyler Glasnow, who now has a serious injury, is saying one of the reasons is because – you made us change right away, and it threw off a lot of stuff that I had been that I've been working on in the offseason. And then this many games into the season, you want to come in and completely change the rules. Mm-hmm. BK, I do understand their point there. I see Greg Swindells of the world, who I respect and love, and I love their hard-nosed mentality.
Yeah.
He's got 17 years in the bigs. He knows what he's talking about. What
did he say? I missed his tweet.
Zeke pretty much said that's a lame-ass excuse for these guys because, you know, that you've got to change stuff. Stop cheating. Stop doing that stuff. And so for Zeke to say that,
he's basically saying, like, and no coach ever taught me that. Like, I didn't go to the base. Coach was like, well, we're teaching you how to use these substances when you pitch. He's like, no. You end up kind of coming up on that knowledge yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if guys are getting injured because of that, and we'll see how this kind of plays out. Now, if their numbers are just being inflated and they're being exposed because they can't roll their four-seamers high because of spin, then that's okay. Right. We're actually getting this sport back to where it needs to be.
Yeah.
You guys know how much I love this sport, and I do like the policing itself aspect. But the flip side of that is you got to have a sheriff that'll let the kids play and then actually break stuff up once it gets too serious and they're too late on that.
I'm Team Zeke on this one because for every Tyler Glasnow, my guess is there are a dozen hitters who have injured themselves trying to swing at these pitches that have been cheated. Basically,
Tatis pulling his shoulder.
Right. How many guys have injured an oblique or a shoulder or something swinging at a pitch that was advanced, souped up by spider tack or by the combination of sunscreen and rosin? So, yeah, I get why the pitchers are ticked off. Like, they had a competitive advantage. The pitchers have had their best year in Major League Baseball history, and it's being taken away from them. But, like, they were technically violating the rules. They just weren't enforcing them. It's not like these are new rules. They're the same rules that were there. Now Major League Baseball is just cracking down. So, yeah, it's hard for me to be too sympathetic for the guys. I get the middle of the season change affects routines, and we're all creatures of habit, but my goodness, baseball players are to the nth degree, right? They're so superstitious, and they try to have the same routine all the time. So it's a little bit of an adjustment, but it's hard for me to feel too sympathetic for them because I know a bunch of hitters have had to deal with just as many injuries, more injuries, and more struggles than the pitchers have because of what's been going on.
So, Rod, I would be surprised if this is not. I mean, look, this was pretty rampant in baseball, and we're seeing that. And I think we're figuring out a little bit more that some of the technological cheating was a little bit more rampant, which your Astros fans are saying, hey, we're not the only ones. And I will give, I think, all of us credit. I think even BK as a Texas Ranger said, look, this was probably going on other places.
Yep. They were just really good at it.
They were really good at it, and they got caught. Yep. I would think that if you are in AA or AAA, that you're already working on stuff to be able to make sure you're going to have the same grip and the same, essentially, the same tools that you're using at the major leagues you want to be able to use in the minor leagues so you know if that guy is really good in the major leagues. And you're also fighting for your life. You're getting sandwiches, not the Express. I doubt the Dodgers. Like the A's got the prison sandwich that may be a shot at prison, and you're making, I think BK in one spot is going to make more than every guy we see on the field here tonight. Maybe not, but look, this has been an issue for me for a long time, that I love the minor league system, but they got to start really paying these guys and making it a full-time job. Baseball, like the NBA, like the NFL, have that money. But I would think for these guys that are fighting for their life, fighting to get up there, that that's got to probably change what they're doing right now, too.
Yeah, that's a good question. I wonder how rampant it is in the minor leagues. If it is in
I would guess it's super rampant.
I would think it is, too.
Just as, if not more, than what's going on in the bigs.
I would think the exact same thing.
Yeah, because those are guys
trying to get to the
bigs. Trying to get to
the
bigs.
Big show,
Yeah.
They would love to be the 25th guy. Like, you know, they're fighting for that. And also, if it's going on at the big league level and you're finding out for these couple years that, no, look, it's one of those gray area things. These guys, the Joe West umpires of the world, they just let it go.
They let it go.
And even some hitters have come out and said, well, look, I don't want to get hit with 99. I want this guy to have a grip on it. I think what we're finding out, though, especially with the four-seamers that are high in the strike zone, that I've said, you just didn't try. That was a mistake back in the day. Now, I'm not talking about elevating 0-2 and really going neck high and changing eye level after you've thrown a couple deuces in the dirt. No, I'm talking more about, I'm talking
like the dog in our studio?
Like the dog out here at about 6:30.
There you go.
I'm going to put him on your lap like the bee. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about stuff that used to be mistakes. And that's where I kind of listen to the Ryan Zimmermans of the world. I've really read into this and listened to some national radio the last couple of days, and I've heard a lot of different people, and from pitchers and to hitters. There's no doubt this stuff was not only about control, and that can maybe even be a little bit of a question mark, This was about having better stuff and getting guys out.
It's about enhancement.
And that's a disadvantage.
Yep, it was about enhancement. I totally agree. And, yeah, they want to hide behind control and
– safety.
Safety.
A lot of non-safety people hide behind safety.
Yeah. That's a great point.
I know, because I'm one of them.
Yeah. No, exactly. That's a good point. No, but I
can't go because of COVID.
Exactly.
Can't go.
Still using that excuse.
Can't make the trip.
I thought you got vaccinated.
I'm going to be using that till 2040, man.
I don't trust it.
I don't think you realized how big of a hypochondriac I was. It's like that quote that I heard before. It's like someone had told there's someone on national TV, and they said, yeah, one of my friends said that they couldn't meet me out, even with a mask, and I said, didn't we do drugs in a bathroom in New York City that we didn't even know what they were? It's like, how some people don't really translate with that in their past.
Yeah, right. Off a dirty seat and everything. Right. And a toilet lid. Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, man. But I agree with you, though. The substance, it's definitely about enhancement. I just wonder how much they're actually going to police it. That's the question now.
And for how long?
There you go. Are you actually going to enforce it? And if you do, how long do you enforce? Do you enforce it long enough to actually deter and change behavior?
I do feel like, so Gerrit Cole, when this came out a couple months ago, and I think it was in The Athletic, and it was once again the Angels. I'm telling you, the Angels were running a pharmaceutical company and also like a Stick'em company. They weren't winning any baseball games.
Yeah, it didn't
but
work.
That was the place to go see. That's the other thing, because they were giving it out to everyone else.
Yeah.
And with the Stick'em, Gerrit Cole got in touch with them. These are texts that they have, and said, "Hey, I'm going to Colorado. It's going to be cold. I need some of the stuff, right?" Which is never a good thing to put on a text.
No,
like, I need the stuff.
I almost would have put like, "I need the drugs," like over that. Like, I need the stuff. That really gets our mind.
Just say
wondering.
The weed.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of the stuff.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
you
may
get away with that. But Gerrit Cole, in his quote last night, said, "It got really windy, and I had a hard time gripping the ball."
Oh.
Now, that's where the Greg Swindells hear that and think, look,
break.
It can be humid with sweat. It can be cold. It can be some different elements. Windy?
Yeah.
With your grip?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's funny. The hitters don't have to deal with it. Only the pitchers
have
to deal with the wind. So, Gerrit Cole's got a point, I guess. It starts on Monday, by the way. June 21st is the day where Major League Baseball is actually going to start punishing offenders for their foreign
substance. And it's already started kind of now as we've looked at the numbers.
They're already, teams are telling the players, hey,
but
stop
really
doing this,
starts,
but the punishments will start on Monday.
How do the inspections work? Is it an opposing team that must call for an inspection, or does the ref or umpire notice something suspicious and that just automatically triggers an inspection? Like, what triggers the inspection?
So they've always been able.
Can I, as an opposing coach, go check that dude's
You've
glove.
Always been able to do that, and you'll be able to do that now.
Okay. Yeah.
I was at the game, the White Sox game, Indians game, when Albert Bell got his bat taken away.
Okay.
And Gene Lamont, or who was it? I'm not going to get too baseball nerdy on this. Whoever the manager was for the White Sox came out, and we were like, all right, what is he talking about? And they took his bat, which ended up being stolen that night. I got to give you all that story at some point.
That is awesome.
Someone went up in the roof for the Indians and stole it.
What?
Did they find it?
Baseball baseball's like the mafia.
Man.
The espionage is phenomenal.
Love that.
They ended up finding – well, they found out that someone came in and stole it. So I think they ended up getting it back, but you knew at that point, obviously – that bat was corked. So you've always been able to check that. But, BK, correct me if I'm wrong, there's going to be two checks for starters and one check for a reliever, right?
Okay.
And you can check – okay, well, that's what I read. And you can check infielders and also catchers, because catchers can be putting a lot of this stuff on their shin guard to be able – as they throw it back.
That's
a
good point.
Well, you said correct you if you're wrong. I'm not correcting you.
Beautiful.
That's why I was silent.
Right? Man, how thorough are these inspections, too? I mean, you can hide.
Ocular pat down.
That's what I'm saying. You can hide that stuff, especially with the catcher. You can hide that stuff in a number of places.
Yeah.
I mean, are they actually going to check inside jerseys?
Oh, they're going to have to strip down,
hats,
dude.
Yeah. And, like,
TSA, airplane security.
Yeah, like waistbands, all that kind of stuff. They got to check all that. Are they serious about this?
Yeah. I mean,
you're gonna violate somebody's privacy.
We'll see how long. Yeah,
Joe West doing that.
Oh God, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, we're gonna see how long they take it, and I think that's the biggest question. But you're not gonna have. You brought up the story: three different incidents where opposing dugouts ended up getting a baseball and then doing magic tricks with it, like sticking it to their palm.
Yeah, and that
and
kind
like,
of
stuff.
Hey,
true. Look at that. It
that's
didn't fall.
A good point. Good point.
It won't get to that level,
that's
so it's going to at least pull it back to a certain level.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, and the other thing, too, that I notice these little things. Do you ever know why a third base coach who's coaching third will have a foul ball go by him and won't pick it up?
Why?
Sticky?
Well, whatever it is, it used to be about scuffing the baseball.
Mm.
because that pitcher, if he's had it for like 9 or 10 pitches, he's been working the baseball.
To make it.
So it'll go right by him. Okay. He wants his hitter to have a brand new baseball. Little things in baseball like that. Also catchers that will always throw the ball
back
to their dugout, even if they're on the road. Not to the dugout that has the home bat boys and the ball boys.
A lot to think about.
Yeah. No, catchers have so much stuff going on, it's crazy.
The NFL didn't think about that to Deflategate, about who's in possession of the balls
right.
in between plays and whose balls are they and mm-hmm. where they come from. Interesting conversation.
Good stuff. One and stuff. Done talking yeah. Major League Baseball and the cheating scandal that is facing the league right now.
Right now, yeah.
Right now. Yeah. Keywords there.
Fair.
It's the Triple Option with RBKD. We are live at Dell Diamond, home of the Round Rock Express. The E-Train opening up a 6-game series against Oklahoma City tonight. First pitch a little after 7 o'clock. Come get here. It's open up. It's Pints and Pups night. It's Thirsty Thursday. Come join us. We've got Rangers tickets we're giving away. We've got koozies. And you get to watch some baseball, man, on a sunny day here in Austin, Texas. When we return, we'll have Off the Record. There's a new bowl game, gentlemen. It's ridiculous. I'll tell you what it is, and we'll also try to come up with our own bowl game names. If there was a bowl game that could describe us, what would it be called? We get into it up next.
DD Mega Doodoo. I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain man comb.
Congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for another edition of Off the Record. I saw this story first. I saw Brett McMurphy tweeted out, and then I went to go check out the actual show Twitter account of this person. And, yeah, it's a real story. The L.A. Bowl.
Did you think it was the first time I saw it? I thought this has to be. I saw it on Twitter. I thought it has to be a joke.
Yeah, I was like, I just don't. Because Brett McMurphy doesn't tweet out jokes like that. And he didn't have a joking tone, so I figured, that's just weird. So I went and looked up, because I hadn't seen it anywhere else. And then I went and looked it up, and then, yeah, as you sent the story too, it is a real thing. So, according to now ESPN and multiple sources, as well as Brett McMurphy, the L.A. Bowl has found a big-name title sponsor. Jimmy Kimmel is the new L.A. Bowl sponsor. Yeah, the Jimmy Kimmel Show. ABC talk show host Jimmy Kimmel. The inaugural edition of the Jimmy Kimmel L.A. Bowl will be played December 18th at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood. The host announced it on his show, Jimmy Kimmel Live, on Wednesday night. The game will air on ABC. He said, quote, "This is not a joke. This is a real bowl game named after me, so mark your calendars. It's like an early Christmas gift for all of us."
How about that?
So never before has a bowl game been named after a human being, as far as I know, Jimmy Kimmel said in a statement. So that's why it's a big deal for him.
Is he paying for this, or are they paying him for this?
I think he's got to be paying. I think he's got to be paying because he's been on Twitter and it's been promoted with a lot of stuff, you know, the promotion stuff. And it's like, Jimmy's your friend. And I'm like, nah, his ratings tell me he's not.
Jimmy.
I've watched his show, and no thanks. I mean, think about all the late night people I'd be cool with this with. Letterman, NBC, obviously. You could go Johnny Carson. They're Conan, NBC. There are guys, but Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah.
This sounds bought and lame.
Yeah, it is bought, but I'm surprised nobody hasn't done it before.
It sounds bought. It doesn't sound lame. I love it.
Yeah, I'm surprised nobody's done it before. It's like you have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, if you got a lot of money, it's not that crazy to buy bowl sponsorship, because I don't know how expensive it could be.
No, I was going to ask, how much does it cost to buy a bowl game?
Because
I'm going to take out a loan right now.
Okay, I'm going to look it
up. I want a bowl game named after
me. You guys talk. I'm going to look this up real quick. I'm going to find out how much.
I mean, it has to be bought because.
Oh, it's definitely bought.
Yeah.
But did ABC buy it to help Jimmy Kimmel cross promote? Or did Jimmy Kimmel decide, you know what, dude?
I'm going to buy it.
I'm going to buy it. I got so much money. I don't give a damn.
We're struggling.
It's a good bit, like BK would be.
I'm going to help out.
Can we drop the LA? Can it just be the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl? Can we do that instead?
Okay.
That sounds more clean. I like that.
Yeah, I think. Okay, these things are pretty cheap. The business of College Bowl game sponsorships. Investing Answer says sponsorship costs, they claim, between $375,000 for this year. And by year six, it goes up to – because they have contracts.
Yep.
It goes up to $450,000.
Oh, so, chump change. So basically, dude, I'm buying a bowl.
Yeah, but
– easy.
Yeah, so the cost could include TV spots, which could potentially reach more than 3 million viewers. So, yeah, probably about 300K. Yeah, Jason says – Jason just hit us up and said it's about 250K.
That is crazy.
He's probably looked into it.
Yeah, he probably has.
That's way more affordable than
Jason's
I would have thought.
Looked into it. Yeah, that's why. Yeah,
unbelievable.
So it's not that. I mean, I say it's not that expensive. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, but for him, it's not a lot of money.
No.
Not as expensive as I thought it would be.
I guess there are
40 some bowl games now.
Dude, I'm with you, BK. I think it's cool. I would buy, if I had enough money, I'd buy like a random bowl sponsorship.
Yeah.
I think it's stupid, and I think it's why this thing is to play December 18th between the fifth team in the Pac-12 and the Mountain West. One or whatever.
So you're more of a Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl.
Yeah, I'm more.
Sorry,
I'm more.
Can't
into,
please them all.
I'm more into. I don't care about any of the names, and especially someone like Jimmy Kimmel. No thanks.
Who's your, not a Jimmy Kimmel fan?
Who's your late night guy choice now? You gave a bunch of old guys.
I honestly don't like any of them.
So you wouldn't be happy with anybody.
Jimmy Kimmel's probably my late night guy of choice.
No thanks.
I went to a Jimmy Kimmel show once, so I got to go with him.
So how about this, guys?
Jimmy Kimmel from 15 years ago to Jimmy Kimmel now, there had to be an in-between. But it's kind of funny looking at the hypocrisy with what he's really hypercritical with now and what he used to not.
Well, he was with blackface before.
He was doing the main show with
boobs. He's got to be politically correct.
And
so,
now
that's
he's
what I'm
overly
saying.
Politically correct. Yeah, and it's not funny. It's a late night show.
He's making more money now. So you got to sell out to make more
money. I don't
money,
care
man.
About that stuff. This is why I'm here, to rip on that, because we need a voice. We need a voice,
a voice
against that.
People are trying to sell out to make more money, man. That's
Well, and I will call it out every time.
Every great band.
I will call
every
it out
every
time.
Every great band has sold out to make more money.
Doesn't make it right.
I didn't say it's right. I'm just saying it's real.
Let's play a game.
Let's do it.
You guys are having a serious conversation. I don't like that. We've got a bowl game generator here.
Oh, my goodness.
And it involves letters of your name. So, Rod, we'll use you first.
Uh-oh.
So the bowl sponsor is the first letter of your first name. What letter does Rod start with?
R.
What letter does Rod start with? R. Okay, you're the Fleshlight. Fleshlight is your bowl sponsor.
No.
Why? How did that even come
random? I'm looking at
this
chart, dude.
Hold on, I
don't buy that. Let me see.
Bowl sponsor, first letter of your first name. R. Fleshlight.
It is. He's right.
What?
That's pretty wild.
This is great.
Considering BK and Trey once interviewed, I think, like, one of the...
Yeah.
Produce one of the makers of that damn.
Okay, so the bowl name is the fourth letter of your first pet's name. You know that off the top? You can just pick one of
K.
your pets right now.
K, my first first dog was Roxy. So
you've got the Fleshlight Osage Orange Bowl. And the bowl location is the third letter of your hometown. So you go in H-Town?
Yeah.
You go in U then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Your game's in Akron.
Oh, that's so perfect.
So you've got the Fleshlight Orange Osage Bowl played in Akron, Ohio.
That is hilarious.
KD, you ready for yours?
Yeah, let's go. K?
Yours isn't as cool. You've got SB Nation.
Well, that's not bad.
Okay.
As your first letter.
I would have taken the Fleshlight. I think you stand out more. That's one of the few that I would have been like, yeah, let me check out that bowl.
What about fourth letter of your first pet's name?
Fourth letter
of
my first pet's name?
It's a weird one.
First pet, that would be K.
Oh, two Ks.
Okay, you're Osage. Pick a different pet so we can pick a different
name. DJ.
Yeah.
All right, you've got the SB Nation Onion Bowl.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
The third letter of your
hometown. Now, is that one of those where we pour onions, like a bucket of onions?
Works for me.
Onions. On someone like
the Bloomin'
Onion?
Onion?
Yeah, exactly.
We go like an Outback Steakhouse
onions.
Fit. Third letter of your hometown, Austin. A-U-S. Starkville.
Oh, my God. So it's in Starkville.
In Starkville, yeah.
I'll take Rods.
The SB Nation
Fleshlight
Onion Bowl in
and Stark the Akron
Vegas.
Element really
Akron's
adds some
so
danger
random.
To it. Yeah.
All right. I'll go with mine here. First good. Letter of my first name is B, because BK starts with B. Gold Star Chili is the sponsor. Fourth letter of my first pet's name. First pet I remember was Otis, so that'd be S. I've got the... Gold Star Chili Plastics Bowl.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
The third letter of my hometown, Overland Park, Kansas. Played in Destin.
Oh,
little spring break action,
easily
baby.
The
that's
best
good.
Location.
I love that. So
oh,
there you go.
Man, I like that.
That's cool. What is that if people want to do that at home?
It's an article from December 5th, 2018, titled Create Your Own Bowl Game.
It's fantastic.
It's from SB Nation, everydayshouldbesaturday.com.
That's
great
cool.
Bit.
That is good.
I might
bit.
Tweet out a link from the horn
That's
for people who want to mess with that. But
good
there you go. So there's we've got a Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl, and we all have our own bowl names now. So make sure, Rod, if you want to buy a bowl game, you get Fleshlight on board.
They definitely have standards, though, because Pornhub would have bought a bowl by now.
No doubt about it.
Didn't they try to a couple of years ago and it got shot down?
I think they tried.
I remember talking about that.
They tried to get Super Bowl commercials, too. It's like, nah.
Yeah, we got standards.
We're sluts, but not that big of sluts. No offense, by the way. We didn't mean that. We didn't mean that with y'all and what y'all are doing.
And also, they have a fourth category here, the opponent for your bowl game, and it's the day of the month you were born. And for some reason, 30 of the 31 days, your opponent is going to be Pitt.
What?
And if you were born on the 2nd, you get Middle Tennessee. And I actually was born on the 2nd, so apparently I'm playing Middle Tennessee in my bowl, and you guys are both playing Pitt.
That's clever.
Must be a Pitt fan who came up with this.
That.
There you go. There is Off the Record here on the Triple Option with RBKD. We're halfway home on a Thursday. When we return, some unfortunate Texas football news dropped earlier today. We'll rehash that. And also breakout candidates. Who could they be for the Longhorns in 2021? We debate next.